Joining us this morning is Dr. Beth Cookson, Deputy Australian Chief Veterinary Officer. There is a mouthful if ever I've heard one. We're just going to call her Dr. Beth. Good morning.
Good morning, Jade and Bilko. Nice to talk to you this morning.
I wish we were talking about something fun to do with animals and wonderful stuff, but we're not. We're talking to you this morning about, well, FMD, foot and mouth disease, Dr. Beth.
We are certainly a hot topic at the moment, Jade. And, of course, we're very concerned with foot and mouth disease as one of the most serious diseases of livestock.
Why is it such a big deal? And secondly, why is it a big deal right now?
Well, foot and mouth disease is a really highly contagious disease that affects what we call cloven-hoofed animals, so those ones with split toes, like cattle, sheep, pigs, goats.
Camels?
Camels, indeed. And the reason that it is of consequence is that it spreads rapidly between animals, so you'll find that it can be quite difficult to control, and it spreads by direct contact between animals as well as through contaminated product, so including contaminated meat product that might be then fed to a susceptible animal like a pig, but it can also survive on clothing and footwear.
Hence the reason we're getting all this kerfuffle in the news about, you know, ditch your clothing before you get into the plane from Indonesia and your thongs and those mats and all
the
that sort of stuff.
Mats, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we have always been most concerned about the pathway coming in through contaminated meat products. So whilst I would always caution people to be conscious of those other pathways, we can't lose sight that we need to also make sure people are not bringing back in meat products and other things that are not permitted under our biosecurity rules. But at the moment, we are urging heightened caution because we have seen foot and mouth disease spread to Indonesia for the first time in over 30 years. And they are managing an outbreak that's quite a high scale at the moment.
And what does that mean for them, though? Like, because I know the risk here is that it affects a multi-billion dollar industry, which would then impact consumers. But for a place like Indonesia, it's now in their country. What does that actually mean?
Well, foot and mouth disease not only impacts trade between countries, because obviously other countries don't want to introduce foot and mouth disease into their herd. But it is also a severe disease for production and also for animal welfare. So the concern with Indonesia is, of course, food security and the number of smallholder producers that are impacted by having sick animals that lose condition and in dairy herds can cause a mass loss of the production of milk.
Do we have any idea of how it's got into Indonesia and how it becomes so rampant? I mean, obviously their controls aren't as good as Australia.
Yeah, there's certainly been lots of discussion about how it may have got into Indonesia. I don't believe that has been confirmed by Indonesian authorities, but certainly the pathways I mentioned before are possible, including importation or sick animals coming in or contaminated meat products.
Does it make people sick, Dr. Cookson?
No, it doesn't, Jade. It's not a disease that affects humans, and it is different to the hand, foot and mouth disease.
Yeah, kids have all had.
Yeah.
So what does it actually do to the animals? Is it obviously fairly diabolical for the animal itself?
Yeah, animals will have a range of different clinical signs. So, for example, in cattle, you'll quite often see the typical blisters around the mouth and also around the coronary or the top of the hooves. So you get blisters and that can lead to them not wanting to eat. Of course, it's quite painful and quite a lot of lameness. Mm-hmm. Other animals, though, may not show many clinical signs at all. And so, for example, sheep typically don't show as many clinical signs as cattle.
Now, are we concerned about, they've been saying in the news, there's particles of the disease or there's bits of the disease in the country at the moment. Have we ever been at this stage before in Australia?
Well, the news reporting at the moment is about our routine surveillance. So one of the checks and balances in the biosecurity system is to make sure that we are monitoring what's for sale across the retail sector to make sure that we are identifying things that are possibly not compliant with our import conditions. So that's been the case this time. There has been a product identified that does not appear to have met Australia's strict import requirements. And that product was a pork-based product that was then tested. It's unlikely that the test that's been reported would cause infection in an animal.
Mm, good.
But it is a really important part of our system to make sure that we are looking for entities or commercial pathways that may be bringing non-compliant products into Australia.
Dr. Beth, is it the sort of thing long-term that we can look to vaccinate animals against? You know, we can't just stop people coming from Indonesia forever, and that's what people are talking about at the moment. Is it something we can sort out with the animal itself?
There are effective vaccines available. Oh. The issue with vaccines is that you can't vaccinate in Australia before we've got the disease because it has the same impact as getting the disease from an international trade perspective.
Oh, gosh.
But we do have good preparedness for foot and mouth disease. And I would point out to listeners, Jade and Bilko, that foot and mouth disease has been the disease that we've been most worried about. And Australia hasn't had foot and mouth disease for over 150 years. Mm. So we do have very effective controls at the border. And we have heightened those because of the nature of the of the outbreak at the moment in Indonesia. But we do have travellers coming from foot and mouth disease affected countries on a daily basis. Because, of course, Indonesia is not the only country in the world that has foot and mouth disease.
Because the UK had it a while ago, is that right?
The UK has had some disease incursions over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And they have managed to control and eradicate foot and mouth disease in their national herd, and that indeed is Australia's policy if we were to get an incursion of foot and mouth disease here.
Good on you, Dr. Cookson. Thank you so much. Hopefully we can just keep it out, because I think that sounds like the best tactic at the moment. Is that right?
Of course. Prevention is absolutely our top priority, and I probably will just finish, if I could, Jade and Bilko, with a message to listeners.
Mm-hmm, of course.
just to say that, you know, whilst our biosecurity measures are strong and they have been increased because of the level of concern that we have, there are some really simple things that travellers can do before they come back from all countries that have foot and mouth disease, but in particular Indonesia at the moment. And that's to know what they can and can't bring in with them. The simplest thing is just to not bring food products back with them at all. And also to make sure that they are avoiding contact with livestock whilst they're overseas, making sure that footwear and clothing is clean before they return. And if they have been in contact with livestock or they're not sure, avoiding contact with Australian farms and Australian livestock on their return.
Sounds pretty simple, right?
It's pretty simple.
Pretty simple. Dr. Beth Cookson, Deputy Australian Chief Veterinary Officer, thank you so much for clearing that all up for us this morning and just speaking in layman's terms, because it does sound very overwhelming and very scary at first glance, but you've certainly made a lot of sense of a big situation.
That's my pleasure, Jade and Bilko. Thanks for having me on the show.